Hello, and welcome to Lit Up with Nina Alvarez. I'm your host, Nina Alvarez. Lit Up is a weekly talk show about literature and life purpose, about the cross-section between writing and spirit, in whatever ways I can think to approach it. In the coming months, we'll be speaking with local and national writers about their journeys of self-discovery while researching, writing, and revising books. We'll also be speaking with healers, spiritual leaders, energy workers, about how writing is an important part of living out their mission and purpose. The blockage I see as a writing coach is in most creative people, and really everyone trying to find ways to express their purpose, is self-doubt. They read too many how-to-write books, they spent too many years in school, and somehow lost confidence instead of gaining it with all this accumulated knowledge. So most shows in the coming months will probably be about using intuition and spiritual guidance to make creative decisions. That's what I'm interested in, and that's how my mind works, and that's the kind of conversations I find most stimulating. So hopefully, if you're tuning in, that means you do too. In today's show, we'll be speaking about overcoming writer's block with local author, writer Christine Green.
First, I want to talk about why Christine is here. It's because Christine, I think, exemplifies what I want to really get across in today's episode, which is about intuition and writing. Christine's journey over the last 3 months or so has been, again, exemplary of what it means to take your writing to a spiritual level, not necessarily that you're writing about spiritual things, but that you're using your spiritual tools to overcome blocks. And when I say spiritual, I don't mean this in a religious sense. I mean the part of you that is, we can say, greater than your conscious thinking mind, where your ego resides. Some people might call it your higher self. Mm-hmm. Some people might call it God. Some people might call it spirit guides, subconscious, whatever it is that works for you. What I'm interested in is talking about the part of ourselves that is beyond mind.
Yeah.
Because I truly believe that creativity doesn't come from the mind. It comes from beyond the mind, whatever it is that you think of, you know, as beyond the mind. And the thing I see most often in my clients and my students and in myself and in my friends who are writers is that though we've spent years learning all the tricks of the trade and we've read tons of books on being how to be good writers and we've done a lot of work in the field, we can actually lose confidence as time goes by instead of gaining it. And I think that's because we learn all these different experts' opinions on what it means to be a good writer, on how you have to do your writing process. And before we know it, we can't put two sentences together because we're overthinking everything. And so that and maybe a couple somewhat bad experiences can lead you in your 30s, 40s, and beyond after having like a good start into a place where you're actually creatively blocked. And so I'm very interested as a writing coach in helping people unblock and be the writers that they're meant to be. So I had the privilege of working with Christine back in November and to this day as a writing coach. And I'd like Christine, if she wouldn't mind, to tell us a little bit about her story, where she started as a writer and what led to the block.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me today. I'm really excited. I think this is a wonderful idea for a show. So I'll kind of tell you a little bit where I started writing. Like most children, I at one point thought I'm going to grow up and be a writer. I also thought I'd grow up and be a gymnastics, you know, Olympian and several other things, a marine biologist. But as time went on, that all kind of morphed into being an archaeologist somehow, which I loved. And so, you know, I went through undergrad and grad school, and I worked, and I fell in love, and I got married, and I worked some more, and then I had my children. I have two kids. One is almost 14, my goodness, and one is 10. And it was a new career. And a lot of people like to talk about having kids or being a stay-at-home parent as this kind of pause. But for me, it was a new career. It was a new, just something, the next thing. But at a certain point, when my son was very little, I got a little itchy for community. And that doesn't mean I didn't have friends. I had lots of friends, and I had a lot of really good friends physically in the community. But there were those middle of the night feedings and those, and I hope I don't sound just kind of like the quote typical mommy blogger, but that's where it started for me. Was I really needed some people that I could reach through. And you have to remember, this is before Facebook.
You were blogging when blogging was just new, like 2005, right?
Yeah. Oh, the good old days. Yeah. And so I just, it started with, and I want to say her name is Catherine Newman, and she's a blogger and writer, and she wrote a book, I believe, called Waiting for Birdie, maybe? Listeners can Google her. She's written several books. She lives in Santa Cruz, I believe. In any case, I started reading her blog after I read a book of hers, and I realized you can comment, and maybe they'll, you know, and to me, she was just, you know, she was getting like 50 comments. It was just amazing. And then I would follow the comments of other, so this other person would comment, and I'm like, oh, that's an interesting little profile picture and avatar. I'm going to see what their blog is about. And pretty soon I'm reading all of these blogs, and none of them were advice blogs, kind of what I was thinking they might be. They were mostly like, hey, I'm sitting here, you know, nursing twins, or hey, I miss my job, or whatever, but they're living life with their children, whatever that may be. Some are home, some are working, some were, in fact, several were talking about their loss of children. So I thought, well, I can't, how do I start this thing? And so I found out, as most people nowadays know, it's really easy to start a blog. You just start it and you start writing. And it became a really big part of my life. And at first it became a really secret part of my life too. I didn't let anybody know in my IRL, in real life, I was doing this until I got, of course, you know, life is what it is. So two of my friends at some point go, hey, I found your blog. And I said, how in God's name did you do it? And they're kind of looked at me like, you know, this isn't that hard. You're not that hidden, you know, out there. So at a certain point when I realized that maybe other people are going to find this, I shut it down, most because I wrote some things that weren't hurtful to people, but were very, very private in my community of, you know, my big blog community, but still it was things I wasn't quite ready to share. So I shut it down. And I restarted another blog, and I kind of said, hey, friends, now that we're on Facebook and now that more and more people have a social media presence, I'm going to write this blog. And it's like, okay, cool. And it just kind of went from there. The pieces I wrote were obviously kind of what I would call creative nonfiction or essay. It certainly wasn't, again, advice pieces. And that just started to morph into other things. Some of the pieces I wrote, I submitted to a book, an anthology that was looking for submissions about motherhood, and those got published, and it just kept kind of rolling from there with people I knew, and here I am now, and I have some a few publications here and there, and now I'm writing more. I'm not blogging as much. So that's kind of my story. I'm sorry if it took forever to get to the end there, but did I miss anything?
Well, the block, though, that we're talking
about.
The block,
yes. The block. Let's talk about the block. oh, yeah, that's that part I just blocked right out and skipped right over, right? So I'm doing all this writing, and I don't have, at the time... Well, I should say at the time, meaning a couple, let's go back a couple years ago. I'm still very nervous. I'm a nervous writer. I'm nervous for people to read stuff, but, you know, I'm kind of plugging along. My husband is a professor, and so a lot of the people we know in our community are professors as well. And I did get to know a few people in the academic community who were writers. And I, you would think the more that I was with these people, the more I would feel, you know, like in a community of writers. And that was kind of the opposite. And I don't mean to say that these people aren't good people. In fact, they're deliciously wonderful, smart, lovely people. But I realized that I was feeling, the more I was with them, and this is hard to articulate because I don't want to hurt other people. And in a way, I don't want to remember the hurt I felt either, I suppose.
Sure.
It's hard. I just felt like it just wasn't, I wasn't accepted within that community. And as a writer, not as a person, I mean, they were very good friends to me, but it became a problem, and it became my problem in that I internalized my self-doubt so much so that I got to the point where I just felt like I just was not writing. And what I was doing, in which what I was unfortunate, was that there were really good people around me who really supported my writing at that time. Very good people. Bill Berry Jr. from the journal Aduna, mm-hmm. Wonderful guy. His wife Lisa, my friend Christine, my friend Rachel. I had some really beautiful writers in my life. Yet for some reason, I let the voice of my self-doubt and the kind of weirdness I felt from the academic community be the louder voice,
right,
for whatever reason. And I got to a point where I just felt like I couldn't write. And then this summer I met someone who was telling me about how she was a dancer and that she had certain physical limitations that forced her to stop and how that was really difficult. And what, for whatever reason, I think because I was at such a crossroads, I didn't, what I kind of wish I had done or could have done was to really understand what she was going through. And what I heard was, maybe I should be thinking that same thing. I'm a writer who doesn't have the skill. I don't have the PhD. I have a master's degree in archaeology, and no offense to my anthropology friends out there, but we're really not taught how to write, you know, for a public audience. We're taught academic writing, which is very different.
Yes.
So I just thought, I'm a writer. I feel like the call, but I don't have the skill, and I just need to stop. So I don't want to say publicly, but I did. I told people, I'm done writing. What I'm going to do now is support other writers. And so to backpedal a little bit, I do host and facilitate and organize a monthly reading series in Brockport at a different path gallery called Words on the Verge Literary Reading Series, where we have different emerging and established writers mm-hmm. come in monthly and give a reading. We do a little interview and discussion session, kind of, I tell people it's a little bit like in the actor studio with in the writer studio. Yeah. It's
a fabulous event, I have to tell you. I read in November, and Christine does tirelessly works to support established and upcoming writers through this writing series and I highly recommend people go out and check it out, as Christine said, at a different path gallery in Brockport, and you can find Words on the Verge on Facebook. But it's it's just to show Christine is a very giving person, like basically what we, you know, kind of person who wants to support other writers. And I want to mention right now that very often it's what Julia Cameron also calls shadow artists, though shadow artists are often editors and publishers and facilitators of ours are people who want to be artists, but for whatever reason at that stage, I mean, they want to facilitate too. Not to take away from that, but there's also very often an overlap with people who are blocked with their own work.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's where it was. I just kind of thought, well, now I'm just going to take care of other writers and be it. And of course, there's this somewhat, I don't want to say famous, but well-known article where someone talked about, and I can't think of who or her name, I know it was a she, talked about being a literary citizenship. And I was like, I'm just going to be a literary citizen. I'm going to read and I'm going to do my, reading series, and I'm not going to write. And I just kind of announced this in somewhat of a, I look back and I feel a little silly at the time because I think we've all seen those people who are like, this is what I'm going to do or this is what I'm not going to do. And but at the time it felt like this is what I have to do. But I knew around the time I contacted you, not long after my birthday in October, and I can't even really remember specifically what pushed me to call you, but it was just this nagging. I was reading my other friend's work and it was just, I just felt like something was there and I couldn't unlock it. And I think I had just hit that wall where that block was just going to do nothing. Mm-hmm. I was just stalled spiritually. I was stalled emotionally and creatively, and I was done. I needed to rewind and get back to writing. And I also felt a little bit, not to say that writer always needs to be traditionally educated, but I was really worried that I wasn't educated enough, which sounds funny. I know I have, I'm an educated person, but specifically in creative writing. And so I thought, well, if I reach out to someone who knows where to put their commas. And the funny thing is, I read. I mean, I'm not completely inept in that. And in fact, I don't think I'm really inept at all. We all need a little help with certain things. So I guess that's where I'm at.
Well, okay, that's where you were.
Where I was,
Yes. And I think that when you came to me, I remember how clear it was that even though you had said you had stopped writing, that there was, you felt that emptiness. And I think, yes. I think that's what it is. Like over a lifetime, you can see really, am I a writer? Am I an artist? Am I, a scientist? Am I a mathematician? It's always going to be there. Even when you say, I'm quitting this for right now, you won't quit for very long. Or if you do, you'll feel something missing. And that's how you know. And I think at the end of the day, that's how you know if you're a writer. It's not how many publications you have or how many accolades you have, but if you can't stay away from it.
Yeah.
So what I experienced and what has been actually been life-changing for me through working with Christine, was that as she came to me, I really felt that her problem was not about periods and editing, but about her being confident in her own voice. And it sounded like that she had been blogging and writing for a general audience and receiving a lot of great readership but when compared to the academic creative writing that she was around, she felt that either was told or was implied, or she felt that her work was unworthy. I'm out there. I'm a professional editor. I've been writing for a long time, and I've seen how academic creative writing is actually very sandboxed. There's a lot of writing for each other, and the general public is actually going to be responding much more to other writers, people who are writing, we'll say, from maybe a more organic, maybe a less academic place. And I because I've been through the academic side of things, and I've been on the commercial side of things, and there's places for everyone. But I also know Christine, and I know that she's not just, again, not just a mommy blogger. She's very intelligent. She has a wonderful, a sensual use of language. And I wanted to see what was really holding all this back. So as I was listening to her, I got really quiet inside, and I asked her, when was the last time that she felt confident as a writer? And she told me the story that she's just told us about, that it was back when she was blogging and she had a readership. And I said, it just sort of came out of me, and I said, and I'd never done this before, and I said, well, I'll be your audience. You know, just write every day, 500 words or half an hour, and send me what you write. And my sense was that I was just going to try to recreate energetically what had been missing. So I couldn't go in and fix self-doubt. I couldn't go in and undo things that she'd felt or heard. But I could say, when did things work last, and how can we model that again?
Yeah.
And she started to send me these daily missives, these beautiful, intelligent, mind-blowing, and sometimes they bring me to tears in just like 500 words. And all of this started coming out of her, these nonfiction pieces about her life, her past, her memories, her dreams. And they were all spun together so beautifully. Yeah, within half an hour of her busy day.
Yeah.
And so it was at that moment that I really started to see that, like, blocks and self-doubt, they're sort of bullshit, you know.
Yeah.
Very often, the more gifted you are, the more intelligent you are, the more likely you are to have these things. They don't actually correlate with being bad at something.
Yeah.
You know. So I guess I'd like to hear from Christine about what that experience was like in November and December. You know, if you felt like floodgates had opened, if it was a struggle, and also what was coming through you at that point.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because when you said to me, well, I'll be your audience, I'll read. And I thought, okay, because there is this common, I don't know what the term is. I'm trying to find my words here. This kind of, and I guess misconception is the word really, that writers only write for themselves, and you're only a good writer or a good artist of any sort if you just do it for you, and if you're suffering at the same time, and that you and that you're poor,
hopefully poor.
Yeah. And I talked to an artist recently who said, you know, someone thought she made a lot of money. You must make a lot of money with your art. And she was insulted. You know, you don't make a lot of money. And she's a beautiful artist. And I think I know where she was coming from. Like, the really good artists are kind of unknown and do it for themselves. And I think that's where she was coming from. She's just a really wonderful person. But it made me think that there is this kind of idea that the artist of any kind suffers and they write for themselves. They do it for themselves. And I always thought, damn, I really want people to read my stuff. I really honestly do. I want people to read. That's not to say I've never written things that are for, there are things I've written that are not ready for other people, but, so anyway, you said, I'll be your readership. And I thought, okay. And I was, at first it was, I felt like it was a floodgate. Like, I can do 30 minutes. In fact, Nina had said to me, how about an hour? And I thought, I can't do an hour. I'm so busy. Which we're all busy, whatever, but half hour seemed very doable. And, I think at this point, and Nina and I are working on this, that in the past, my best work has always been actually very short, less than 700 words, I'd say, up to this point anyway. So I thought, okay, I can do this. And at first, I did feel like it was a flood, okay. And I was kind of searching around for topics, and I would just, I'd like to just, you know, I'd be looking online or through magazines, like, okay, I'm gonna write about this, I'm gonna do this. And then I hit this little wall, and I don't know if you remember, right? I said, I can't do that, I don't know what to do anymore. And you're like, well, if you need a break, you're okay. And I think I actually colored a picture one day and sent it to you instead of writing. And then I don't know, that was pretty short-lived, and it could have been a million things. A holiday, it was the middle of the holidays, which are hard for a lot of people, but they're particularly hard for me with some past events that happened around the holidays. And so I was feeling this kind of, I gotta get this out, but I can't, I'm nervous, and I was kind of couching it all, and I have to wrap Christmas presents, and I have to get ready for solstice, and I don't have time, and I don't know what to write. But when I just let that go and literally put it on my to-do list, on my little Google calendar where you put a check mark, write. it just kind of started to come back. And when I started to write about the things that were upsetting me the most, actually at that time, which was some memories around the loss of my father and some other losses and memories mm-hmm. of my past, is that when it really started to flow pretty well. So it was a great experience. It really was. It really was. And now I have this folder full of stuff,
yeah,
which I like.
And the piece about your father, it's so exquisite. And
thank you.
We've even submitted it.
We have.
To an essay contest.
Yes,
so hopefully,
my fingers are crossed.
Yes, it's a very deserving piece. I'm sure we'll get it published somewhere.
Thank
it's
you.
Very deserving.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, there's so much more to tell about Christine's story, but I think that's all the time we have for today.
Okay, great.
I think that was a good dig into, you know, what it means to stand back when we are having a block, either reach out for help, you mm-hmm. know, and then if we are the person helping someone else or if we're trying to help ourselves, I really, really highly recommend getting into a meditative state, prayer, whatever it is you have to do, getting out of your chattering mind and asking for guidance on what you need to do to release the block.
Yeah.
You know, the guidance I received when I was listening to Christine was be an audience for her, you know, and then there were other things that I received in terms of intuitive hits along the way since then. But really, this whole process is something we'll be talking more about in coming weeks on the show, all the different ways that you can let go and allow your creative work to come through you, you know,
yeah.
And I think, and a big part of that is something Christine hit on a little bit. It's about using the fear and using the pain and using the things that you're resisting in your work.
Yeah.
You know, they are often part of the block, but you can actually transmute them.
Absolutely.
into your best work ever.
Absolutely.
Well, Christine, is there anything you would like to say?
Well, thank you for having me.
Sure.
This has been very, very exciting. And just a little, if we have just a second,
sure.
Something I want to direct people to, if they're interested in further kind of exploring, just still, I mean, this is really short, letting the idea of letting your writing come through you
mm-hmm.
is, you know, the author, and I'm going to mess up, it's André Debussy, but he it's, you would think it would be pronounced Dubois.
Okay.
He wrote House of Sand and Fog.
Okay. Yes.
And he also wrote, and of course I can't think of the name of his autobiography, which is brilliant. I mean, it was just so beautifully written, but if you YouTube and you find if André Dubois, that's how it would be spelled. He has this little interview on there, and I can send you the link if you like. And he talks about how his best writing is when he is almost not present while he's writing, and how it's, you have to get out of your way.
Mm-hmm.
And he used that term, get out of your own way, get out of your way, get out of your head.
Yeah.
And that really influenced me a lot. And in fact, every now and then I go back and just listen to that interview again, because it's all about, oh yeah, I'm writing this and this. And he just has this, a few sentences about getting out of your own way. And it's good stuff. So,
well, maybe we can find the link and when this show goes up, have the link available for people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Christine.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on my first show.
This is wonderful.
All right. So thanks for tuning in for our first show. Today's takeaway, if you're blocked, especially due to self-doubt sprung from other people judging your work or feeling that they're judging your work, find a safe person to be your accountability buddy. Someone who loves what you do, and will at least for a couple months only give you positive feedback. You need to return to an emotional place in which you feel safe to explore truth as you see it through your art. Judgment shuts us down. It softens our voices. This is the opposite of what writers are here to be. Find an audience, even of one person, who makes you feel safe and purposeful, and write to them on a regular basis. In Christine's case, we did 500 words a day or half an hour.
and she said it to me every day. Then as time evolved, it was 3 times a week. Work with what works for you, but make sure that you stick to it. We're talking about raising your vibration here. Fear is a lower vibration. You want a higher vibration around your writing. I'm very happy to know that you're out there listening and very happy to be part of Rochester Free Radio. To learn more about me, Nina Alvarez, or contact me, you can visit dreamyourbook.com. Have a wonderful week and be well.